Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
Okay, so you're very welcome back this Friday evening to Off the Ball. We have an extravaganza of live sport coming your way over the course of the weekend. On Saturday evening, it's one of European rugby's most storied rivalries as Leicester are the visitors to Thomond Park in the European Champions Cup. That one is Saturday evening, so Munster-Leicester. And then it is a proper Super Sunday on Sunday with the Merseyside Derby followed by the Manchester Derby. Wall-to-wall coverage on Sunday of the football. Back to our show last night from the Stella Theatre. Here is Paddy Ralla O'Reilly in the Heineken Green Chair telling us some stories. Now, Ralla is a name that maybe you do know, maybe you don't know. He is famous, or rather infamous, for being the butt of many a jape on the part of the Irish rugby players. In particular, it seems like the key tormentors in his life would have been Dunnock O'Callaghan and Paul O'Connell, who would have relentlessly like tied him up and put him into lifts and dumped him into those plastic equipment trays that the jock straps always ended up in movies. A much benighted Ralla, who it seems is one of the most beloved characters around Irish sport, and it also turns out around the Lions. Have a listen to some of these.
Peace be with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was that?
I'm told to ask you about the dog.
Oh, the dog, yeah. First, may I say to everybody, it's great to be here. And I feel a little bit in awe with these gentlemen on the stage. Three legends of our beautiful game, rugby. So, well done, lads, again. Before I speak, I have something important to say. What's the question?
No, go ahead, tell us what's important.
Oh yeah. Well, that was the funny part. Anyway, what, the GPS was it?
That might be the punchline, but you tell us the story anyway.
Yeah, well, there's like I'm, as the lads will tell you, I'm no comedian. I'm absolutely no comedian. But occasionally I have told a few yarns hither and thither. I remember many, many years ago, we were in UL in Limerick, and we were in camp there, staying at the Castletroy Park Hotel. And the lads were sort of, not to mention those two bunnies up there, but the lads were sort of at me like, Ralla, you know, what are you going to do with a training session? What's, you know, do you do anything like, and you know, so what they did was, the training session the next day, they put a GPS unit in my shirt. So they're going to track me during the training session to see how far I actually moved and how fast. So that was fine. So they did all that, and I was standing at the rail at the bowl and having a lulu, and there was a man standing beside me, and he had a dog on a lead. So I just got chatting to the man with the dog, and I said to him, is that dog fast? He said, oh, it is, Ralla, yeah, yeah. That's why I have him on the lead, in case he runs off. I said, you wouldn't like to do me a little favor. He said, anything, Ralla. If I take this yoke out of my collar and strap it onto the dog, would you take the lead off the dog? He said, yes. So that's what we did. We took the GPS unit out, put it on the dog, and the dog ran off up the hills. The guy doing the laptop doing the measurements, you know, was going like this. And he said, Jesus, Ralla's really working his elbows off here, you know. But it was only later on, of course, that night, after a few pints, that I, you know, admitted to my little trick on the boys. It's good to get one and back on them now and then.
Yeah, because this... Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. The stories of the mistreatment of Ralla are legion in Irish sport, but also now it turns out in Lions sport. He was on the tour with you. That was definitely one of the things you wanted.
He was essential, yeah. So... the two people that we needed to take on tour, one was a guy called Bobby, who was a fitness guy, and the other one was Rella. So I rang Rella, asked him to come out of retirement, said he had to pass a medical first, which he did do. And he was absolutely, as always, brilliant and great for team morale, brilliant for the players. And I think that relationship, Rella, that you have with Bobby is pretty special also.
Yes, definitely.
I know there's a very well-worn cliche in rugby circles that what goes on tour stays on tour, but luckily you're going to break that for us tonight and tell us a story about Warren Gatland's blazer.
Oh, that one, yeah. First of all, may I say, this old chair's not that comfortable. you can't sort of go back in it, or you can't go forward. Sort of, I'm hanging on the edge here like Gulliver's Travel, you know?
We can tilt at any time, don't worry.
Yeah, Warren probably doesn't remember this, but many years ago we were on tour. I can't recall exactly where we were. It could have been Australia. And, you know, we have a liaison officer. And on week one, he instructed me to the fact that we could only get our number ones cleaned on one occasion for the 4 weeks. So I said, how are we going to manage that? You know, because blazers get, you know, they get tippled here and there. So I went to Mr. Gatland and I said, related the story to him, and he instructed me to gather in all the blazers, about 40, and to send them to the dry cleaning. That'll sort of soften their cough. So I did that, and the liaison officer was quite taken aback a little bit. But off he went in his laundrette van to the cleaners with the 40 blazers. Returned the next day, prim and proper. At which time, Warren informed me that he'd forgot to give his blazer in. So he said, Rala, will you get my blazer done? So the next day, when the guy arrived, I gave him the blazer. And I don't know what he did with it, but when he came back the next day with it, it was like a blazer for Tom Thumb. So I think he just threw it into the old washing machine. You know? So my next problem was...
It was a normal washing machine, and the blazer had come up to my elbows.
That's right. So the next thing was, how would I tell Warren? So I eventually plucked up the courage and I rambled up to his room and I knocked on the door and I held the blazer out like that. And I said, Warren, here's your blazer. And it was only about that size. Like. And all I could hear was, Rala, Rala. I said, yeah. So I think he forgave me in the end. And how we got out of that was I actually gave him my blazer for the rest of the tour, which meant I hadn't got to attend any functions. So that was
is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Win-win.
We've got time for one more, because I understand that you had a brush with the law in Tonga one time.
Yeah, that started in Grafton Street. I know it's strange, but it actually started in Grafton Street. We were going on a tour to the Kingdom of Tonga. The Kingdom of Tonga, as you probably know, is a country of about 130 or 40 islands. Some of them are only that size, some of them are that size. So we landed eventually. Have I another minute there, Jeremy?
Go for it, yeah.
We landed in Tonga. What do you remember this? I thought, Brian, were you on that tour?
No.
It was sharp. It was a sharp no. Anyway, we landed in Tonga. It was a balmy evening, about midnight. You could sense the flowers and you could hear the sea rolling and the palm trees swaying. And it's there that I met one girl called Julie. Tall, black hair down to her hips, you too. A I will never forget Judy. And the flower in her hair and the coloured dress and the flip flops. And they're important, by the way, the flip flops at the end of the story. So she couldn't pronounce Rala, so she called me Lala. And that's where that name started, Lala. So eventually we got to the hotel and that was grand. I think Woody, Brian O'Brien and myself went across to the ocean. When we got back to the hotel, everybody had gone to bed. And I had about 40 bags and I went up to the lobby guy and I said, you know, Patrick O'Reilly, blah, blah. And he started laughing, he looked at the book and he said, oh yeah, we'll have your room tomorrow. So I said, that's all right. So I slept on the medical bed. But the point I'm getting to is, the day of the match, Julian asked me for 2 tickets for the match, which I gave her. So the day of the match arrived, and there's the changing room, and there's the entrance. And I was going about my business. I was outside Lululemon and that, you know, and next thing I heard a big kerfuffle at the gate, screaming, Lala, Lala. And here was at the gate, a pickup truck with about 12 women on it. So I went over, and Julie said, Lala, they're not letting us in, like, you know. What would we do? Like, I said, Julie, I only gave you 2 tickets, not 12. So I had to persuade the guy to let her in and all the girls. We went for the warm-up, and for some reason, I can still see it like if it happened yesterday, some divine thing from the clouds said, go back to the changing room, Lala, go back to the changing room. So I did. And here I goes into the changing room and there's the 12 women sitting on the benches. Could not believe it. And each had a basket of fruit. And said, Julie, Jesus, Julie, what are you doing to me? The lads will be back in 2 minutes. Which means you've 1 minute, take the girls and the fruit and the baskets out that door. They were coming in that door. So at this stage, apart from the heat, the sweat was rolling off me, like, you know. And all the fragrance of the beautiful girls, like, it was like, oh, it was amazing. And and I could still see our first player coming into that door and the last flip-flop going out. And that was Julie. There were another 1,000 stories about Julie, but I know we haven't the time, so.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rala!
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.